From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning into Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 18, Episode 18. This week, we heard Bob's conversation with Dwayne Betts about his amazing Freedom Reads project. This was such a heartwarming and meaningful conversation about redemption and making a real difference. Today, the gang is all here, and I cannot wait for the three of us to discuss this episode. But before that, do we have any housekeeping?
The only housekeeping that I have is, for those of you that are following Underestimated, my students' podcast, we are jamming episodes out now. We're putting out two a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. And so we just had the first half of Gracie's team's episodes come out today. We're recording on Wednesday. So the third episode of the Brandy Peltz case just came out. I just want to take a moment to say how much I'm going to miss Janet Gracie. She's a senior. She has 6 days of school left. We were just talking about it today. I do get the honor and privilege tomorrow night of going to present her with a CTE Student of the Year Award at a big countywide award ceremony tomorrow night.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
But God, when you listen to that, you know, all the episodes are different. All the different, you know, the groups are different. There are different groups of kids doing different topics. They all have different writing styles and speaking styles. And it's just every time I listen to anything that Gracie's group has put together, it's just, I cannot wait to see where that young lady goes with her life, because she is such an incredible writer and has such a presence, and just, it's gonna make me cry. She's been with me since she was just a wee lass of only a sophomore, but she's just so good in that, and their series that they've done is just so phenomenal. And their first three are, and so the way it works is each group puts out three episodes, so you get three of each, and then we circle back to the first group and they put out either two or three more after that. So you get the Brandy Peltz first three, that grouping is out already. I've already heard the Jeanette series. And the next up that's going to come out on Friday is one I'm really excited for you guys to hear, is the group, one of my other seniors, Asia, and her group with Colton and Bailey. They did their series on partisan politics and how it, like the divide in the country is affecting them. Also really good and such a hard, hard topic to cover. You know, it's so, like, a lot of these topics are so touchy, and just the boldness of that group to, you know, and they're a very mixed, diverse group to take it on, and the research they're doing, and really, you know, I was helping Colton today when they're writing their sixth episode right now, which will come out much later. They're so trying to focus so much on facts and staying neutral. And I kind of had to give them permission. I'm like, in your final act, like, you need, he's like, well, I want people to know this, and I want people about how I feel, and like telling them, that's the place to do it. That's how you wrap this series, is make a plea to the audience. Tell them how this is affecting you. Tell them how you feel. You're allowed to do that. You know, they were like running stuff by me as they were writing it. So first three episodes of that are going to come out. So the day this comes out on Friday, episode one of the, I think it's called Crashing the Parties, is what they titled their series.
I like it.
Yeah, great.
That's coming out on Friday. So that'll be today when you're hearing this, and then next Wednesday and next Friday will be their first three, and then the Kim Larrow series is coming out after that. And that group is the one I told you, I'm just so impressed with that group of young adults, because they were the group who did the whole thing, recorded all their first three episodes, and then realized that it was too disjointed and like scrapped it and completely have rewritten their first three episodes again. So and the first one's done. We just finished with the music scoring on their first one. So yeah, make sure if you're not already, subscribe to the Underestimated podcast. Lots of good stuff still to come from there. Other than that, no other housekeeping. As I mentioned last week or the week before, we're told that we're looking at June. So like within the next month, hopefully, to get the results of the testing of the West Memphis 3. This week was the 33-year anniversary of the deaths of Stevie, Michael, and Christopher. Hopefully we'll have finally some answers for their families, and there'll be some real justice served in that case coming up here in the next month. Other than that, as far as Dwayne's interview, I'm certain there's probably not a whole lot of questions from it, if any, but I want to say that, like I said, I think I told Janet this in a text, I maybe even said in the episode, by far, and this is not a slam to anyone else. I've interviewed hundreds of people, and I've loved most of them. This was by far the best interview that I've ever, the most engaged, where I personally was like, I don't want this conversation to end. Dwayne is such a, he is such an interesting and dynamic and complex man. And you guys heard probably the most real thing ever. Like when we connected over the books, like I could have sat there and talked to him about reading those books for, and I think I have even talked about like in our pregames that book I was reading, The Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby, I was struggling with it because I'm used to reading what I like to call my trash books that are, they're very like, they're not a lot of depth to them. They're very fast paced, you know? And this one is like, is much more of a slow burn, and he's a really, really good writer, and the characters, there's depth in the characters and there's layers in the stories. And it's just like, it's been hard to me for me to get through because it's kind of slower paced. If anybody asked the question after that conversation, I did buzz through the end of that book and finished it. Had to. Only book I've ever read where I cried at the end of it. Mm. It was like the, so if you're looking for the Bob Rupp Book Club, Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby. Oh, the character arc. I'm rambling like I was when I was talking to Dwayne. The character arc of the two main characters in that book is so goddamn good. It's, I'll give you a little taste. You got, and that's why Dwayne was talking about that he loved it so much. They're two guys who have been to prison, a black gentleman, and this guy that's written is kind of like a redneck white guy who their sons were married and had been, you find this, it's not a spoiler, you find it on the first page, their sons were murdered. And they were both two guys who had, you know, they were never accepting of their sons being gay and they didn't have a relationship with their sons. Hmm. And then they feel like they're, the police aren't doing anything to actually solve their sons' murders. And so like they connect, and you know, the premise of the book is that they're trying to solve their son's murders because the police weren't doing it. But so you could imagine you've got characters written as both kind of homophobic, both kind of racist towards each other a little bit. It's like an odd pairing. And then like the arc of the final scene in the final chapter of the book, I was just reading it, just tears pouring down my face because it was so fucking good. Anyway. So that's this episode's about that book, right? That's what we're talking about. Read that book. So anyway, what'd you guys think of Dwayne?
Wonderful, such a heartwarming conversation. So well spoken. Such an amazing, amazing individual. And there was obviously, you know, the part that touched me in the conversation, which was him talking about really almost using range as a gun range as therapy.
Yeah.
And you know that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
I mean, being that I shot professionally for several years and I understand being able to go, and you talked about this too, but I think you talked about this, but being able to go to the range and drown out everything and try to perfect a skill that is not, you're not able to actually perfect. You'll never be able to perfect shooting.
Yeah.
Right. There are so many nuances and so many micro factors that come into shooting that you're trying to perfect a skill that no matter how hard you try, you can't. Yeah. But it's such a calming world.
Well, I don't remember because it was like one of those conversations where like I have in my mind the things that I need to get to, but all I want to do is just hit into like my new best friend, Dwayne. I just want to sit and talk to Dwayne. What I found really interesting about that is that, you know, I've at least on our Patreon pregame, I talk about this. Like I've been playing around with the idea of writing a book for a while. And I even did some writing this weekend a little bit. And I don't know if it'll ever turn into a book. And what it is, like when he was saying that to me, that's not my thing. Like going to a range and shooting, that's not my thing. I'm a hunter. I do shoot and I work on it, but that's not my thing. But I think that the idea that everybody should find their thing, like for me, archery is kind of that, but more so for me, it's Western hunting. It's, you know, I have, for those of you that follow me for a long time, you know, year after year, I've gone to the mountains in Montana and climbed chasing black bear. Never got one. And I don't know if I ever will, but like that's that place for me when I get, you know, when I'm, you know, 6, 8, 10,000 feet up in a mountain and it's physically grueling and demanding and there's no noise, physical, mental, anything. It's just like you're just so, like I just like my brain works and it puts me in a space where it's like therapy for me. And it's And I've always thought part of kind of the premise of like what I wanted to write into a book is I don't expect a person that's not into that to understand that. But I think we can all can understand that you have that thing, whether it could be gardening, going to the range, like where we have that. I think everybody needs to have that thing where they can go and it clear truly clears their head. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I related to that very much, not because he was talking about like a shooting range, but as he was talking, I don't remember if I said any of this when I was talking to him. I think I skipped past it to get, because I wanted to hear him talk more. I just yap at you guys today. But I was just like, yeah, like I get it so much. Like I get it so much that you need that thing where you just have to shut everything off. And that's his thing. Your favorite part, Janet? Thoughts?
Yeah, I loved it all. I loved something about just the description of like, this is not virtue signaling. I don't think our listeners would think of me that way anyway, but I could not wait to go donate to Freedom Read. Yeah. I went over there, made a nice donation, and just listening to him describe the handmade shelves and the new books and the feeling of, like, for me, that really ignited one-to-one the comparison of thinking about, especially as a younger person, when you do have less freedom and you are getting to know yourself and your own mind in this different way. And this idea of the way books transport you and the promise that you get from reading. And I think just listening to him talk about that really made me feel very emotional about the idea of prison and what it represents and what it does to your brain and your heart and how important this idea of traveling outside of that it is both an escape and a coming into yourself, and that it mm-hmm. is a way to develop your own imagination and your own mind and figure out who you are when you can't go out there onto the range in the Western. You know, you can't pick up a gun and go to the range and be present in the moment physically in this outdoor space, that reading is this opportunity to do that. And that was I felt very emotional about that. And then I also snapped up his book of poetry right away. And I've been listening to it because he reads it. And it is
really
stunning. It's stunning poetry. Even if you're not a person who's into poetry, I mean, there's also like, it's very spoken word, of course, and sometimes there's even a little music that gets added to it. So it's really beautifully performative and very lyrical. But like the very first poem is about what I'm not going to read the whole poem, obviously, but like the first poem in the book, Ghazal, starts out, "Name a song that tells a man what to expect after prison. Explain Occam's razor. You're still a suspect after prison. Titus Kaphar painted my portrait, then dipped it in black tar. He knows redaction is a dialect after prison. From inside a cell, the night sky isn't the measure. That's why it's prison's vastness your eyes reflect after prison." Like everything comes back to sort of after prison. I mean, the night sky, it's prison's vastness that your eyes reflect after prison. It's just beautiful. And not every poem is about that, but there's a lot of poetry about identity and redemption and how to understand how you get where you are and what it means and what it doesn't have to mean and all of that. And I just, so I'm also like kind of totally in love with Dwayne Slashy.
So,
like I love him so much.
And I know it's going to sound like I'm saying this like in a joking way, but in a serious, so like I've never read a book of poetry in my life. Like, do you think like for me listening to it, would I be into, I don't even know what that sounds like, other than what you just read to me was super compelling.
Yeah.
Like,
I think you would. I mean, it gives me goosebumps. Like there'll just be a great line in one of the poems and I have to just stop it and just like sit with what, and then I go back 15 seconds and just listen to it. And it's just really, sometimes poetry just, you know, you see why people get refrigerator magnets or a piece on their skin.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Zach, that you've, you know, tattooed pieces of poetry that people just, they're just like, something about this line just like digs into your heart and is like, yes, I didn't know that's how I felt until I read it, or I always knew that's how I felt, but I never knew how to say it. And I think a true poet really wakens that, you know, in you. It's great.
That's right, because I always feel like it didn't even occur to me, like I want to get like a couple of his books. I don't remember the names of them now, but there was a couple that I remember I had written down in my notepad out there.
Yeah,
but it didn't occur to me to get the poetry book because I'm like, well, I'm not artistic or smart enough to listen to a book of poetry, but I can read a book. And yeah, like as you're reading it, I'm like, I probably would love it. I probably would.
It's beautiful.
My hillbilly self would probably listen to that. What about you? You're very artistic, Zach. Are you into poetry at all?
No, not really. But I can appreciate it. It's just not something that I would be into, but I probably would be into it. It's not something that I revolve around, but I get it. I get the idea. I mean, music, I love music, right? Mm-hmm. That's all music is. That's yeah. All these songs, like true, like I'm not talking about the top 40 hits, but like true songwriters, it's poetry. It's poetry with music.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, as Janet talked about people getting, you know, lines of poetry tattooed, very rarely is it actually poetry. It's a lot of like song lyrics, but it's mm-hmm. like beautiful.
That's poetry.
Singer-songwriter song lyrics, which is poetry, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I could definitely see myself doing it. I also just don't have the downtime to put into that. Music, I can listen to in the car. I guess I can listen to it. If it's audio, I can listen
to it. Well, when you said it was audio, I'm like, I could see myself putting it in and listening to it when I'm, you know, when I'm mowing the grass or, mm-hmm. you know, what, you know, I'd listen to, I'm that weirdo that my headphone, you know, people ask me, what's your workout jam at the gym? Like, oh, I'm listening to an audiobook right now while mm-hmm. I'm working out. Like,
yeah. That's what yeah. Well, like this one, I'll just play. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I just play. I won't play very much of it, but like, this is the one that I was telling you about that you actually hear it as more of a spoken word. So it starts out.
For Bell denied. For Avi. I won't tell you how it ended, and his mother won't either. But beside me, she stood in some things neither of us could know. And now all is lost. Lost is all in what came after. The kid, and we should call him kid, call him a child. His face smooth and without history of razor.
His face smooth and without history of razor. I don't know. I just love it.
That turn of phrase.
Yeah. I mean, he's a poet, man. And it was just so fun listening to him be like, and I knew I was a poet, but it's like, how do I do that? How do I be a poet? You know?
And that's what I loved about my conversation with him is Dwayne and I could not be any more different. You know what I mean? In our background, like when he says something like, I always knew I was a poet, like that's, I've never thought I was a poet. You know what I mean? Like, We're just very, very different. And I don't know, I'm a sucker for this type of thing. It's why I cried at the end of that book, you know, where it's like when people can be so different and in a 40-minute conversation come to like, we do have a place where we come together. Like we are like, even though we're so different in this way, in this way, in this way, we're also very much the same in this way. And I think that like, I feel like he brings that out in people. Like, even after we were done recording and we were still talking, I'm just like, if he lived here, I would have been like, you know what? I'll be there in a minute. Uh-huh. And I just went and hung out with him, you know?
Yeah.
I can't wait to go to one of these, to one of the prisons where they put the libraries in with him. Like, I'm for sure doing that. And I'm upset I missed the one. They were just in Chicago. By the way, for patrons, I did put the video version out of that interview on Patreon. So anybody can look up and see like the pictures, libraries and stuff. But like he actually holds up in the video like a little model he has of the book. They're kind of cool. They're like these like kind of S-shaped, two-sided. But I never thought about the fact when he was talking about, if you didn't catch what he meant, where he had to be approved by the DOJ, like there's safety regulations.
Oh,
they
sure.
got to make sure that they can't be turned into a weapon, that nothing could be pulled off of them. Like they had to go through all these strict like regulations to make sure that they would be fit in the prison. And the fact that they built them in a way where it doesn't look that big, but it can hold 500 books that they put into every prison is just so, I was same as you, like as soon as I was off, I went and donated to Freedom Reads. If you haven't, by the way, in the link of the description of that episode, I'll go and put it in this one too. I mean, what a great way to just really, to really change somebody's lives. And as I said, like, that's something that we always hear when Ed was in prison and Jesse and like everybody, you know, Jamie, the, you know, like send books, like they get so excited if you can send a book, you know, it's such a big deal for them to be able to read. That's their connection to something outside of themselves. You know, I would say not necessarily the outside world, but the way he put it and the way you kind of articulated it back, Janet, where it's like, when you read this book, you can like build this world in your mind that's outside of the space that you're living in. I just loved it so much. I even, when Erica was editing it, I was like texting her from school and I'm like, hey, did you finish editing that episode yet? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, what did you think about that interview? And she was like, that's the best interview you've ever done. Like, I loved every second of it. I love him. I love the interview. So I was like, yeah, that seemed to be everybody's kind of take on it.
And I'm going to go ahead and push back on you a little bit because I think you are a poet. Because think about when you're putting an episode together, like a regular main episode, when you have the time and you have the materials. Think about how you put the story together. You want to tell a compelling story and you know where the right place to leave off at the end is. And you have a sense of where you want that music to go. And you have a sense of what feeling you are trying to elicit from the listener. And you know, when you write a really good line, I know you do. When you write a really great, strong close to an episode where you're like, oh, this is going to, like, I hope this touches people, or I hope this stirs people up and makes them want to do something about this. That's art. I mean, that's poetry. That's writing. Like, that's storytelling, yeah,
I,
you know?
I guess I've never thought of it like that, but I finished those lines and been like, oh, that's a banger.
Well, that's a poetry. Some poetry is just a bunch of great bangers.
Yeah, but I've never been like, that's poetry. But I get, you're right. You are right. And that's, I think I'm going to download and listen to that because I need to. These last 2 years have been, anybody that, you know, the little bits when I do like posts on social media, I've really been doing a lot of self-reflecting and trying to do a lot of self-growth in a lot of ways. And why wouldn't one of those ways be to like to take on a new medium that, you know, I need to listen. Maybe I love poetry. I've loved everything you just played.
Yeah, just listen to one at a time. That's only a couple minutes each. You know, they're a couple minutes long. And then you can go back and listen to it again and go like, God, why did that one line just strike me so much? Or like, oh, I didn't understand what he was referring to by that one thing. But like, you know, I could look it up or whatever. I don't know. I think, or you could just listen to a bunch together and let it wash over you. But he's so talented. I mean, obviously, he's
well, what I like
very
about
well-regarded
it is,
in the world.
Is what I do love about writing myself when I write and when I read other or even hear, like, you know, podcasts or whatever, or audiobooks or books that I'm reading, is I was just bragging on Gracie earlier. Like, that's one thing I love, like, for her only being 18 years old, like, she's so good at just coming up with amazing turns of phrase, like creative ways to say something that makes you think, right?
Yeah.
And I've just never really thought of it as like, that's poetry, but that's what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can call something prose, you can call something poetry. At the end of the day, in my mind, you're writing words that are put together in this very specific way. And if you're doing it right, it's making someone feel a certain way. I mean, there's, especially when it's more than just like straight ahead, like, these are facts. Here you go. Now you have them. You know, when you want to turn it into a story, I mean, storytelling, I think that's poetry, you know, it's all storytelling.
I'm glad we're having this conversation because I'm really, like, again, I can't tell you enough how much that didn't occur to me that I should listen to the poem. When I hear, like, poetry reading, like, as he's saying that, I'm, like, picturing, like, New York City in $1 million penthouse apartment with a bunch of snooty people in suits drinking $30,000 glasses of wine going, oh, yes, I love the way, yeah, like, that's what I picture in poetry, not hillbilly guy in Michigan listening to
or rap
poetry.
I mean, rap, you know, like, so much rap. I mean, there's a reason the Nobel Prize, you know, a rap album won the Nobel Prize. Like, it's great. And people really responded to that too, from, you know, from the listeners too. Just like, I'll get into it, but, you know, people loved hearing that conversation that you guys had about books and poetry, and that does have a place in this conversation as we talk about the incarcerated and, you know, what it all means and how to change it.
Well, I think this goes back, I mean, this piggybacking off Janet, but it also goes back to part of our conversation in the pregame is communication. And it's just another form of communication.
Yeah.
And that's something you, not to blow smoke up your ass or whatever it is, you are so good with communication. You know, just the idea of like teaching your students how to communicate properly through a medium like what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you having this podcast, you having these TV shows, you doing all these different forms of communication. That's all this poetry is. It's just another form of communication. So it absolutely makes sense that you would love it or at least be enthralled with it. You know
what I need? I need another thing to get obsessed with. That's what I need.
And Zach, I'm going to extend that to you too. You're to your point, what is art? Art is communication. You know,
yeah.
you are,
yeah.
you are, helping other people communicate who they are and what is important to them and what they want the outside world to see, but also what they want to be able to see for themselves, what talisman they want on their skin, how they want to be remembered, how they want to be reminded of their travels and their journeys. And, you know, that's what makes it so sad when you hear about education programs being like, well, let's just toss out art and music. You know, the important thing is you just have to be able to computer program, which ironically is like, well, that's something that AI, unfortunately, seems to be doing very swiftly. Let's talk about the humanities again. Let's talk about what it means. Humanity, human. What does it mean to be a human being? And how do you talk about that? And how do you connect with other people? And through what medium? You
know? It's so interesting to me because I'm like thinking back to the things I say to my that I've said to my students this week. So this is like, especially in investigative journalism, when they're making, they're putting this podcast. They're at their deadline. It's end of the year. I wrote on my board today. The seniors have 6 days left. The rest of the school has 19 days left, and we're trying to get everything done. And everybody's like frazzled and at their wit's end, and they're like hitting deadlines. There's been tears. There's been on multiple occasions this week. I'm like, listen. When you're hitting that point where you're frustrated and you're tired and you're ready to give it the good, it's good enough. I want you to remember that this is going to exist forever. And I'm not saying that because you should be afraid of it. What I'm saying is you're making art that is going to go out into the world that you will be able to hang your hat on for the rest of your life. Your kids, your grandkids will be able to say, look at this thing that I did, that I made when I was 17 years old. And it's still out there existing in the world. Again, like I've never really made the connection to kind of the things we're talking about now, but it's exactly what you said. Like that's them expressing the conversation I said I was having with Colton, about, this is your chance to, say those words. Let's find a way to express yourself. And I even told him, I'm like, you want the audience to feel what you're feeling. Like you don't want to just write it on paper. You want them to like this is affecting you in a very deep way. That Colton is an amazing young man. He's gay. A lot of the things they're talking about like mean a lot to him, And I was like, do not hide that. This chokes me up whenever I talk about this.
Oh, no. But I'm like, the second you do that, I lose it.
But I'm like, do not hide that. Let them be uncomfortable. Let them feel it. I don't know. I feel like I just spun off in a whole different. All I'm thinking about is my kids right now because they're all struggling so hard to get done, and so it's like in the front of my mind. Man, so sorry, every conversation circles back to that.
Listen, I am positive that Dwayne Shahid Betts would be like, I love that this has led to a conversation about you talking about teaching young people how to be the best versions of themselves. That is the last thing you need to worry about. Anything that springs off of the conversation you had with him that has to do with bringing education and illumination to people who are then going to do the same for others is what this is all about, in my opinion.
And trying to teach people in general that it's okay if your feelings make someone else uncomfortable. That's a weird thing, but it's like, this is going to go way off the rails if I don't know. But it's like, it's just one of my, it's such a complex thing because in one hand, you're telting people to, you should express your emotions and, but also you shouldn't make people uncomfortable and all the, and it's like, no, if I'm feeling a certain kind of way because of something that's happening, I shouldn't have to hide that from you. And we all do it. I did it a second ago, right? I started to get a little bit choked up and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to embrace it. But I don't know why we have the tendency to do that, but I should practice what I preach more because, that's what I'm telling them is like, what I told him today was like, if you saying that makes you cry when you say it, then you fucking cry.
Yeah.
Let them be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not sure how much it says anything to do with what we were talking about, but that was the direction I chose to go with it.
Like the other kind of piece of that, the other half of that is, we need to be able to express that for ourselves, and we need to be able to be on the other side of that and be willing to be uncomfortable. We have to be able to make people uncomfortable if we need to, but do it in a way where we can do it and listen respectfully back when, listening and communicating. Because sometimes it's, we get to a place where we feel real good about putting it out there, but then we don't know how to take it in
when it's uncomfortable.
When someone else is walking in someone else's shoes,
Every time Zach cries, it makes me really uncomfortable.
I know. And you and I are two of the bigger criers that I know. Big old babies.
Yeah.
All three of us are. We can all get going real quick.
For sure.
You hit on something about the world needs to understand communication is a two-way street. I think too many people feel communication is me spouting off at the mouth, Bob spouting off at the mouth, you know, but not receiving what's being said or even giving back. It is a two-way. Communication needs to be, in any form of communication, poetry even. Like, it's not just you reading it and not having any feelings. It's you reading it and then digesting it and putting it back out in the world. That it needs to be a two-way. And that's something that I feel like, as we talk about like the younger generations need to be aware and taught that. I feel like you're doing a good job of that, but I feel like we could all do a better job of like helping the younger generations understand that communication is such an integral part to this world. Mm-hmm. When we talked in the pregame, kids looking at their phones and never looking up and not wanting to communicate, not wanting to talk to an adult. You know, we need that two-way street, that communication, and to pull everything together. And it's such a vital thing. And like you said, I think Dwayne would be proud of this conversation, being that we're, you know, trying to teach people in this younger generation, these kids, to be the best versions of themselves they can possibly be.
Hey everybody, Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads. And watch this professional segue. And speaking of communication and two-way streets, did any of our listeners communicate to us anything?
They did indeed. Real quick, too, and we can say this at the end, but the website to donate, you can go straight to donate.freedomreads.org, donate.freedomreads.org, if you would like to contribute to this wonderful foundation. Haley says, I love that interview. I truly believe in the power of books and reading to change lives, and it was great hearing about how Freedom Reads has been able to expand. As a bonus, I was very excited to hear Dwayne / Shahid recommend the Devabad trilogy by S.A. Chakrabarti. Sorry, I'm so bad at reading words quickly sometimes. City of Brass, Kingdom of Copper, and the Empire of Gold. I love that series, but hadn't really thought about the characters' journeys the same way he did, and I found his perspective so fascinating. Sue A. says, I was interested in everything Shahid said. Oh, let's clarify this. I might have missed something, but I was wanting to know the crime for which he was falsely convicted. So I'm going to stop right there and say he was not falsely convicted of a crime. He was there because he did what he did.
Yeah, it was a carjacking when he was 16 years old.
Yeah, so that's it. And then the New York Magazine article, is it easily accessible online? I'm not sure about that because there are so many paywalls for stuff like that. But a lot of publications will let you read one free article.
Yeah.
And I think if you give that a search, just under Dwayne's name, and probably if you just say New York or New York article, it will come up. This also prompted Nancy to think about Ear Hustle. If you don't know, it's a podcast about life in prison, and it fits well with your interview from this week, Nancy. I totally agree. It's a great podcast, and it is. There is a lot of kind of inherent poetry to that podcast, Ear Hustle. It's terrific. Life Inside Prison.
The New Yorker article is behind a paywall, but they do offer you that free trial. So I the computer I'm on is already past the free trial, so it's trying to make me get through a paywall.
Yeah.
But I do know there is a free trial of the New Yorker you can get through.
Cool. Kathy E. says, interview was very interesting. Dwayne's story is a unique look into a world most of us don't know. I love the idea of Freedom Reads. I know someone in solitary confinement for his own safety that is able to get books. I plan on sending him a few, but something like this is so helpful to the inmates. Love that. Sue says, Dwayne widened the scope to show how poetry and books through Freedom Reads can bring hope for incarcerated people, wrongly convicted or not. Maybe I missed it, but did he talk about his support system on the outside when he first came out? Seems like a critical piece to succeeding after prison. Yeah, I don't remember you guys getting too into that you were talking about so many different things.
No, and that was a miss on my part. I had it on my list. I still have on my computer here my list of questions I wanted to ask him. That was one of those things that I needed to get back to, but our conversation kept going in other directions. So I am curious about that. And I certainly hope to have Dwayne on again another time, talk more about it. Because I was very curious. I still am very curious about what his support network was like when he got out.
Yeah.
He was very young. You know, he was 16 when he went in. He was, I think, 24 when he came out. I imagine, well, why would I imagine? I'm not going to imagine.
Well, he's got a memoir too, so we can all get on that and
give it a
read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it goes into it very deeply, but that is such a critical part. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Kim says that was such a great interview. It's the second time in just a week I've heard of an exonerated or incarcerated person talk about how prison really saved their lives or gave them opportunities they may not have had or may not have taken advantage of, and the confines of prison allowed for it. I found that very interesting in general. And Kim, unless I'm mistaken, did you listen to the same Proof? Was it the Proof interview? Jacinda recently had a guest on their kind of like unofficial episode, you know, where they do kind of a follow up themselves. I think maybe that was that interview where, yeah, somebody said, you know, I needed to be there. I needed to be there. It saved me. I may not have made it through if I had not gone to prison, which is fascinating.
And that was the thing with the whole conversation with Dwayne was like, I would ask him and for those like on Patreon, if you watch the video, you can see him processing. I want to believe that I asked him some deeper questions than normally get asked in that, because, you know, when I talked about that, like, where do you think you'd be here if you hadn't gone to prison? So I don't think he went so far as to be like, yeah, you know, prison saved my life, but also where he's at in his life now. I think the way he put it was, I know I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't gone to prison, but I know I wouldn't be here had I not gone to prison. And, you know, somebody in one of the comments you just read was mentioned Shahid. That also was another one that was like, was really, really interesting to me, because he knows when he was taught, he just kept throwing out the word Shahid or the name Shahid. And when I asked him about it, and it's really cool to like watch him kind of process through those thoughts as he was talking, you know, as far as, and I put some clips of that the video on social media. If you follow me on Instagram at Bob Ruff Truth, there's some reels where you can see some of that, because I thought it was interesting that he goes by Dwayne, but he had no problem referring to him as himself as Shahid. And that was just immediately I was like, that's interesting, because it's like he's not pushing aside that old identity, but he has this new identity.
But it was almost interesting too that when he did talk about Shahid and referred to himself as Shahid, he almost referred to it as a third person, as if it was a different person. And he talks about identity and understanding the identities that he has. And it was like very meaningful to me, because it felt like he has not thrown away the person that he was in prison, but Shahid and Dwayne are two separate people.
Yeah.
And it was very like when he said Shahid, he never said his own name.
Right.
When he was talking about himself, he never said Dwayne would do this. Dwayne would.
Yeah.
But when he talked about Shahid, he would say Shahid in a very third person manner.
Yeah. He did do some of that. Speaking of like turns of phrases, like something he said, and I included that part in like the little reel that I put together and posted. is where he said that, you know, he has one person in his life that still refers to him as both, and that's enough for him to realize that, how did he put it? That recognition of one is not a refutation of the other, that he can be both. You know, poetry. And that was very poetic to me. That, again, that's like, I wasn't looking at it as poetry, but for me, it was like, that is so deep. Like, if you really think about what he just said, that's like, it struck me when he said it.
Yeah. I am the absolute wrong person to be talking about this, so I'm going to say this and then just completely shut up. But I feel like that is an experience and a tenet that can be born from studying the Quran. Like, I think that is that piece of Islamic faith and study and kind of picking your, choosing your name, you know,
that's
can have
how,
this
how
huge
I took it,
impact.
Was that,
yeah.
That was because of his connection to Islam is where the choosing your name came from.
Yeah. Those were kind of the principal feedback pieces. Laura says, I'll chime in with another idea for an interview. Jess Pettencourt, who hosts the DNAID podcast, great podcast. I'm not familiar with that, Laura, so I'll have to check it out. But yeah, I think this the whole conversation, obviously, as you can see, I mean, isn't that the mark of a great conversation when you realize that it spurns your mind to go all of these different places and find all of these different ways that you can kind of relate it to your life and your experience and how you inspire people and all of that? Like, that's the mark of a great conversation. So I would not say that going off on tangents is anything other than like, yeah, this is how we want our brains to be working and thinking about these things and thinking about how it isn't just about like, oh, let's just have, this is always about wrongful convictions and nothing more. It's like, no, everything's interconnected, you know?
Yeah. And this, honestly, on a personal level, and we can kind of wrap this up after this, but like, this season has been such a good palate cleanser for me. Like, there's what I lose when we are deep into a case is that, like, human connection. So, like, I'm learning everything I can about the case, but I'm not learning everything I can about the world. And I don't know, I've spoken to such a diverse group of people. We had Dwayne on the episode that you guys are going to get on Sunday. Is Emilio is his first name. So this is a guy that it was a very small, brand new podcast production that I'd never heard of. And he had like written in through the contact form. I had another interview scheduled and it canceled. And I was like, well, I want to help this. Let me listen to what he's got. And if it seems like it's something that I think our listeners would enjoy. And I did. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Let me help this guy out. So you go from Shahid to this is a retired late 60s white guy from a completely different background doing a completely different thing. But it was just another like super interesting conversation that went a different direction. If anybody wants to do any homework ahead of Sunday's episode. So he put together, there is an audio podcast of it. I don't recommend that. What I recommend you doing is going on YouTube, because really what he did is he made a 5-part kind of mini docu-series that he self-produced and put it on YouTube. And he put the audio of it on podcast, so you can listen to it. And I think it would be an okay listening experience, but it's really intended to be visual.
Okay.
He's showing a lot of, crime scene photos and videos and things in that you're just not going to get that on the audio side. But it's called Framed, the Kit Wallace story. And it was just really good for a guy, that is kind of his first crack at doing this kind of medium. It was really good. It is about potential who he believes was wrongfully convicted. But we had, it's super interesting when you listen. If you listen to it before you hear Emilio's episode on Sunday, one of the weirdest. Despite what the naysayers may say, I don't look at every case that everybody's innocent. In fact, I'm very skeptical about most cases. Before I really agree that someone is wrongfully convicted. I'm also the last person to buy into a conspiracy theory, right? So most of the time, if you listen to like they framed him this, I was like, nah, I think it was more incompetence. I think it's blinders, whatever. No one's actually being framed. That's not a thing that generally happens. In this case, as I'm like learning more and more about the case, it wasn't the evidence pointing towards innocence that convinced me that this guy is innocent. it was the evidence that there in fact was a that he was actually framed, hence the name of the show. It's like that. I was like, okay, well, this could be coincidence. This and it's like maybe without these other things. I'm trying not to give too much away as I'm dancing around a little bit. Like maybe without these other things, I could say maybe he's innocent, but there's it wouldn't be enough for me to take the case. But then there's this other thing where it's like, but that piece of evidence shouldn't be there. That is like obvious indication that someone took steps to frame him. And that's what convinced me that the guy, or, you know, from what I know, the limited amount that I know about the case, but super interesting case. He did a great job with his docuseries and a really good conversation. And so that's what we have coming up for you guys on Sunday. And also, yeah, keep throwing those. I just wrote down those couple that you guys threw out in the chat here. Cause you know, we have our old standbys, people that I know and love that have done tons of great work that I love having back on the show to talk about the work that they're doing. But I'm also just really loving, for me, the opportunity to meet and get to know other people that I've never met before in the space. So yeah, keep throwing those out there and I'll keep reaching out to those folks to try to get them on the show. I've got a couple other, I have someone that I'm interviewing next week who I interviewed on True Crime Binge years ago, who for her podcast, who just wrote a book, and the book is coming out that I'm going to bring back on. Justine Vanderloo. I shouldn't even say her last name because I always get it wrong. Justine Vanderloo, perhaps. Anyway, I'm not sure when that episode's going to air, but I'm interviewing her next week. But anyway, point being, keep sending those in. I'm really enjoying like connecting and getting to know all these new people. Hopefully you guys are too. And I will let you know, if you haven't heard it, our Throwback Thursday episode this week, I was just kind of in conversations with my students, was thinking about, you know, and talking to them about like some of the great podcasts out there they can listen to get ideas of how to put a perfect podcast together, which led me to talking to them about my favorite podcaster of all time, David Ridgeon. And so I was like, you know what? That'd be a great Throwback Thursday episode. The time I got to interview my hero and he flipped the script and ended up interviewing me. So that's, if you listen to that. So that's on your Throwback Thursday episode. It's an old True Crime Binge episode. There it is. Emilio Corsetti is the last name. Framed, the Kit Martin story, if you want to do some homework for Sunday's episode. Otherwise, tune in. Enjoy. Thanks, everybody. We love you all. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.